This guy enjoyed a week away from the microphone. He asked himself on Saturday, what do I do with no Michigan football? Jim Brandstatter, voice of the Wolverines. What did you do, Jim, with no game?
I watched football all day. I watched Michigan State play Indiana. I watched Nebraska and Minnesota. I watched all kinds of football. I had a good time. And I just sat in front of a fireplace.
That sounds like a perfect Saturday in Michigan. So you're watching the Michigan State game. You've seen Michigan, and you've called all of their wins so far. When you looked at Michigan State and you were thinking ahead, I know you got the Northwestern game Saturday at the Big House. We'll get to that in a moment. But what did you see in the Michigan State game that you thought, okay, this is good for Michigan or this could be trouble?
Well, I mean, defensively, Michigan State's very good. They scored defensively on a pick six. That's really good. I mean, their defense is stout. Their defensive front, Slade and Panashuk and all those guys, they can all play, and that's the real deal. The one thing I noticed also, though, was Indiana put a plan together to keep the running back, Walker, from beating him, and they did a pretty good job against him. He gained 84, I think, yards, but I think under 4 yards a carry. That's not bad. So you can put a plan to do that. And the other thing is, the big plays from Naylor and Reed, which they'd gotten against Rutgers, weren't there against Indiana. So, I mean, Indiana defensively had a pretty good game. If I'm Michigan, I'm looking at Indiana and say, hey, what did they do? How did they do this? And, that kind of thing. So, I mean, there's good and there's bad. And you got to take into account that, Michigan is going to be playing them in East Lansing. They're going to be undefeated. Michigan's, got to beat Northwestern to make it an undefeated match. But you know that you're going to have to deal with great emotion. And you're going to have to survive the first 10 minutes. And I think Michigan is aware of all of that, that stadium will be on fire when they walk in.
Jim Brandstatter, voice of Michigan football, joining us on the Meyer guest line here on the Huge Show across Michigan. As you had a weekend to kind of let the first half of the season settle in, Jimmy, what really impresses you about Michigan football that you didn't see coming back in August?
I tell you what, the defense, first of all, the energy and the intensity. Jim's talked about it in post-game press conferences. The guys are having fun. I mean, they're really, I think, enjoying this season. They are playing with that energy, a little chip on their shoulder. That's the thing that you never notice until you play a game. Because in practice, you're playing against each other, and you're jumping around, and you're patting your teammates on the back for them to make a good play. But when you're playing another opponent, you're in front of the crowd, it's a whole different thing. And the other thing I think that was really key to me, especially in Nebraska, they got down. They were in a hostile environment. Nebraska made a big comeback, grabbed momentum, pulled them down. And every time this Michigan team defensively and offensively answered the bell. That shows resilience. That shows that they're not going to flinch. They're not going to back off when they're challenged as a group. And that I liked a lot. Those are the things I think that I didn't know was going to happen in August. But since these first six games have been played, I'm really pleased. And if you're a Michigan fan, you got to be pleased with how they have responded.
So at the halfway point, where does Michigan need to improve to be a Big Ten champion?
I think they've got to get better, and I think Michigan State's going to be a big test when they play against big plays. I mean, Nebraska pops some big plays on it. You can't allow that, to happen. You got to be more consistent, assignment sound on defense, especially with teams doing some new things to you. You got to have some guys back there that are going to know what's going on. I think that's the key deal. And offensively, I like the fact that they've run the ball, and they've run the ball against stout defenses like Wisconsin and Nebraska. But again, I'm like you. We talked about this earlier. Their passing game has to be a little bit more consistent, and I think Cade McNamara has to be a little bit more accurate. And some of the receivers are going to have to step up, and somebody's going to have to really make some plays. Ronnie Bell's loss has been, I think, noticeable. Now, Cornelius Johnson and A.J. Henning and Wilson was out last week. I don't know whether Wilson's going to be able to play. and Daylon Baldwin. Those guys are going to have – somebody's going to have to really step up and say, okay, I'm the guy. And so far, they've traded that position off, but somebody's going to have to be that guy. And I think those are the things I look forward to in the final six games.
Minus the muff punt on the Michigan side of things, what would be the best Michigan-Michigan State game you remember, and what would be the worst? Again, outside of the muff punt at the Big House.
The worst could have been last year. That game in COVID, I was just, I don't know which Michigan team showed up. Well, Michigan didn't show up. And that one was very, very disappointing to me. You go back through the years, huge. How are you going to not pick the clock game? When the game should have been over and Smoker throws the pass to Duckett in the end zone when there's 1 second left. Every Michigan State fan in the world is going to be laughing and saying, cry, baby, when they hear this. But the reality of life is that one leaves a mark, because that was one that Michigan should have won and had won. But I would say that one, you know, and the best one, you know, there's been a bunch of them. I think the best one and the one that was so amazing was the Braylon game, when Michigan came back from being so far down and Braylon Edwards just stepped up and said, I am taking this game over. And he and Chad Henne put on a show in the final 16 minutes, I think, that I doubt I've ever seen in a Michigan stadium before.
If Michigan takes care of business, and we'll talk about the Northwestern matchup in a moment, and they're 7-0 and will, you know, be at least six, if not higher, in the country, and State obviously won't fall out of the top 10, at least going in, not how good the game was, at least going in, will this be the biggest matchup ever you can remember between Michigan and Michigan State in football?
Wow. I don't remember. I remember back in the Perlis days, there were some games that were pretty big. But I think from a record standpoint, I can't remember when both teams would have been undefeated going into the game. I mean, and remember back in the day, Michigan played Michigan State. It was early October a lot. It was like that first weekend in October. So they might have been 4-0 or 5-0 with a 1-0 Big Ten record. But I don't remember it being late in the year and having 6-7-0 both teams. Having had played three or four Big Ten games. So, yeah, I would suggest that from a record standpoint, this is probably as big as they get.
Jim Brandstatter, voice of Michigan football, joining us on the Meyer Guest Line here on the Huge Show across Michigan. My next question is, the Northwestern matchup, is it a trap game? Are people looking ahead? And then I look at the clock, and me and you just spent 8 minutes talking about the Michigan State-Michigan matchup.
And you know, I'm mad at you for doing that. You know, seriously, that breaks all of my rules, that you don't talk about the game 2 weeks down the road. You talk about the game you got to play. Because I've learned from Schembechler. I sat at his knee, and he told me, he says, if you start getting ahead of yourself, you're going to get knocked off. And you cannot ask. You know, ask Iowa what they thought about, you know, looking ahead. I mean, Purdue walks into Kinnick and beats him. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that this stuff can happen. So I'm mad at you, so don't call me again.
So what you'll do is you'll remember Saturday and Northwestern will take a knee. This game is over. You'll look at Deardorff and say, Simonson.
That's exactly what I'm going to say.
I'm never going on his show.
I'm going to drive over to Grand Rapids or your Meyer hotline or wherever you are. I'm going to blow it up. I do not want to have that happen. So we've got to beat Northwestern first. Before we talk about Michigan State.
Wait. We already talked about Michigan State enough. I'm done talking about them. We spent eight minutes.
I don't want to talk about them anymore.
All right. So Northwestern.
Play Saturday.
Well, you know.
And Northwestern.
Week off.
Played their best game of the year last weekend against Rutgers.
Yeah, so you get a Northwestern team that is well coached. You get a Northwestern team where they were being labeled before Rutgers as the worst team in the Big Ten. So the matchup with Northwestern and Michigan after the bye week, what are you thinking about Saturday at the Big House?
Well, I mean, I'm watching tape on Northwestern. And this Helinski guy, he's a quarterback. He's transferred to South Carolina. He's got a big arm now. He might have one of the better arms that Pat Fitzgerald quarterback has ever had. He's had a lot of running quarterbacks that could hurt you a little bit. But this guy is a drop-back passer. He's got two great receivers in Robinson and Washington. Both those guys can get long and can make plays. They got a linebacker named Chris Bergen, he's a leading tackler in the Big Ten. The guy is everywhere. He plays sideline to sideline. They are not without talent, but they have had problems in the special teams. They've had problems turning the ball over. They made a switch at quarterback. The previous quarterback turned it over four times, so early in the season, they were having troubles with controlling the football and holding on to the football. They've since changed quarterbacks. Helinski has not thrown an interception yet. And I think the other thing that's really important is they got bombed by Nebraska. And that always is a kind of one of those come-to-Jesus moments where you sit in the locker room and Pat Fitzgerald's a darn good coach, told these guys, what are you going to be? What are you going to be? How are you going to come out of this? And they came out against Rutgers, who I think is a pretty decent football team, that basically just stoned them and beat them 21-7.
It'll be interesting Saturday at the Big House. Brand Statter back at work on the Michigan Football Network. The Wolverines at number 6 in America. Michigan basketball preseason number 6. In the AP Top 25, the women preseason number 11. Michigan hockey now is the new number 1 team in D1 hockey. It's an amazing run right now.
Yeah, well, the one thing about hockey, I mean, all those teams are great. Juwan's doing a great job. Arico's doing a great job with the women's basketball team. Did a great last year, that women's team in their run in the NCAA was a thing to behold. It really was. But the thing I like is the number one draft pick in the National Hockey League draft eschewed going to the NHL and is back at Michigan playing for Mel Pearson and the Michigan hockey team. That, to me, speaks volumes about Mel Pearson, his program, and the college athletic experience. And that, to me, is a real big deal. And I'm delighted that he came back, and I hope Mel has a great opportunity to get to the NCAA tournament. Last year, he was denied that, and those kids were denied that by a weird COVID deal. And I wish and I hope they get there this year.
Yeah, get to the Frozen Four and maybe win it all. And one other big factor that the U.S. Olympic Development Center and teams all based there in the Plymouth-Canton area, and you get kids and families that move there, it really makes it easy just to go play college hockey at Michigan. That's quietly a nice recruiting tool Michigan has right next door to them.
Well, and hey, let's face it, it's right next door to Michigan, but it's right in the middle of Big Ten country. Wisconsin, Minnesota, the great hockey programs, Michigan State, it's right there. And anybody can head over there and kind of look at the great young talents that's developing from preteen to high school level to the early college level.
Yeah, it's a machine. And Michigan hockey has a machine, and women's basketball preseason number 11, Juwan preseason number 6, Michigan and Harbaugh at number 6. Jimmy Brandstatter will be calling the game Saturday on the Wolverine IMG Network, Northwestern at Michigan. Then a week from Saturday, they'll take the short bus ride to East Lansing in the woodshed to take on.
Hey, we aren't going to East Lansing until after the
Northwestern. Look, I said after. I didn't say you're going to play two games at the same time.
You're playing Mr. Media. I am going to get this game. You're not luring me in again, Bill.
We're not.
It's not happening.
Okay, enjoy the Northwestern game.
Thank you very much. I will. Good talking with you.
We love you, Jimmy. See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. We spent 8 minutes. He didn't say a word about it. We're breaking down Michigan State to start the conversation.